You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as home favourite Adam Scott wins the Australian PGA Championship. His first victory for 3 years, 9 months and 16 days.
I'm pretty stoked. It's been a long time between drinks for me, and maybe only once or twice did the thought cross my mind that I'll never win again, but this feels very good to win here, especially to finish the year off kind of winning at home.
The 2013 Masters champion was very honest after claiming his 11th European Tour title, and we'll hear more from him later in the show as we review the action from the final event of 2019. Happy Christmas and welcome to the show. I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is former player, now commentator for Sky Sports, John E. Morgan, fresh off the fairways, and the tan is starting to dwindle.
I know, I'm absolutely gutted, Rob. I've had two lovely weeks, Leopard Creek and Mauritius, and now I'm back in the cold, mate.
What were they like?
Unbelievable, absolutely. Couldn't believe it. Leopard Creek, 49.7 at red at one point, up on the 18th green, I think, on the Saturday, and then Mauritius, well, paradise.
We'll get back to that a little later, Johnny. And also with us, Incy Mehmet from the Ladies European Tour. Incy, how are you? How's the practice going?
There's my answer.
That's it? That's it? Christmas mate, show and you're nodding, are you?
Well, mate, Rob was showing me your swing. What a great swing.
Thank you.
Got to be proud of that.
Yeah, no, it's a working masterpiece, but I just got back from Kenya myself, so I'm just kind of taking advantage of this Christmas break, really.
He had all the animals and all the dangerous things in South Africa. Did you see any wild animals in Kenya?
No, but I was actually in Kenya in
not around February. The hotel or anything, or
Oh yeah. The cockroaches, spiders, you name it. The biggest bugs you've ever seen in your life.
You can eat them.
Well,
I'm a celebrity, so no.
Will you take it? Get me out of here.
Only if I get paid to do it, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll consider it.
No joking.
So cockroaches, just that. Were they on hard floors? That noise.
They were everywhere.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not very good. So what about Christmas? Who's looking forward to Christmas? Hands up, please.
Yep.
Oh, both hands up.
Peace.
Johnny, what happens in the West Country down, you know, Chris, give me a typical West Country Christmas day.
Well, I tell you what, West Country Day is a proper big full English breakfast with all the trimmings.
That's how it starts.
Dogs,
what,
you know,
what
dogs
sort of time
down
is
by
this?
You.
What sort of time?
This, you know, 9 o'clock, I would say, you know, give it a bit of time because obviously you might have a little bit of a hangover from the night before, you know, because you're in the festive spirit. You've had might have a few ports in the evening and stuff like that, you know, with a bit of cheese and crackers and all that.
That's market. Christmas Eve.
That's Christmas Eve. And then, you know, getting to Christmas, it's just like full tilt, but it's nice. Christmas Day, right? Christmas Day. Get down the kicker, the Black Horse. They open up from 11:30 to 1:30. Bars open. Get in there. Christmas Day. You're down the pub. No better, is it?
What,
really?
A little two-hour snifter before you get into it?
Oh, mega. And how then you're rollicked and then you're back home. You know, and you're going for it.
There's other words as well. And NC for you, Christmas Day. I mean, Surrey, his huge breakfast, it's kind of Bucks Fizz for us up here.
Well, this neck of the woods. Definitely not how I spend my Christmas. I'm not very good with my alcohol, so...
Mulled cider.
Huh? Mulled cider.
That's not even a thing.
It is a thing.
Mulled cider.
Right, Boxing Day, we have a Boxing Day shoot. So we go out there, loads of mulled cider, loads of mulled wine. Absolutely, honestly, get on that gear. It
shooting
is loopy juice.
And drinking.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a great combination.
Yeah, but your legs are like Michael Flatley and your arms are like, boss,
they don't
Sergio
belong to
Garcia.
They don't belong to you. That's unbelievable. Mulled cider.
Mulled cider, mate.
That must be like rocket fuel.
Mate, it's phenomenal. Yeah, it is rocket fuel. Yeah, you don't want too many of them, Rob.
Before we sort of get merry on the thought of Christmas Day, which is around the corner, let's talk about the Australian PGA Championship, Incy. Up in the Gold Coast, very hot in Australia, but a brilliant week for Adam Scott.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, 3 years, 9 months and 16 days, not that anyone's counting.
I can't believe that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's that amount of time.
How?
It's like a really long time, doesn't it?
I mean, he's a class act. What a golfer he is.
Totally class act.
And do you know what?
He's got a swing like you, isn't he?
Oh, that's a compliment and a half.
I tell you what, you're swinging an Adam Scott swing. There's not much to separate you bar about 50 yards.
50 or 150?
No, 50.
How much are you paying Rob to say that? That was very good. That's a nice compliment.
I've been out of the fairways with her. Unbelievable, yeah. Ridiculous.
But Adam Scott, how on earth has it been nearly, well, you could say nearly 4 years. I mean, that's ridiculous without a
for
win.
A guy,
yeah, round it up. 4 years, yeah, definitely.
And he's so placid and level-headed. You just think there's nothing really to go wrong.
I tell you what, Adam Scott, what a totally nice bloke.
Oh, he is.
I mean, you meet some that are nicer than others. He's right up there. In the nice charts, he could be number one.
Yeah, he's
egoless. You probably know Adam, do you?
Yeah, I only bypassed him when I was on the PGA Tour. He was out there. I think I arrived in 2002 and he was... end of 02, and he was there a year or two before it, but he was having a hair-growing competition with Sergio at the time, so, yeah, I don't know.
I think Adam's doing better now than Sergio, isn't he?
Yeah, I think
he won in the end, by the way.
Yeah.
He won that hair-growing competition.
Do you know what? I think it was Adam, actually, because he had a proper mullet going on, and you could see it all coming down over his ears. They wouldn't let me join in, but then I had blue, and mine was pretty wacky as well, so...
All the players on tour, when they start off, they always have big hair. And as the years go by, I mean, Rory McIlroy is prime example. It just shrinks over time, doesn't it?
You see things that we wouldn't even notice. You know, a girl looking at it through a woman or a girl's eyes.
She's looking at the top of my head and it's not good. I'm not happy.
You're kind of going the other way. You're not getting hair cut. You're just kind of losing.
But in fairness, Johnny did say that if it was a hair growing contest, the speed that your hair grows, those two wouldn't have had a chance.
No, they wouldn't.
No.
No, they wouldn't, mate.
No point.
No. 11th European Tour title. That also, for me, seems...
little.
On the south side.
Massively.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely. For a man of his talents. And don't get me wrong, he had a bee in his... not a bee in his bonnet, but he was a little bit, I would say, stale for a while. There was parts of his game, I mean, if it came from his putting or wherever it was. And like he just said, he didn't even know if he was going to win for a while. It was like, really?
That's the amazing thing, you know. Have I won for the last time? How about that from a guy like Adam Scott?
That's a really surprising comment, I think, that he made. You know, the fact that he considered maybe not even winning again was quite a statement to actually admit to a crowd, you know. But I think it's amazing that he's 13th in the world. He's not had the best year, but still, he's 13th in the whole entire world.
The thing is, if you lined the top 30 up on the range, and you say, "Where's that guy?" Looking at Adam Scott, you think, "Well, he could be world number one."
Yeah, oh, without question.
You know, you watch him on the range, you think, oh, who's better than that guy?
No, there ain't many better than him. Yeah, swing tit for tat. You know, no better.
He really talked about outsmarting the golf course this week, and I think he really proved his point out there. Played his way around amazingly well, and it just proves if you think your way around the golf course, you can beat it.
Him and Michael Hendry, it was pretty much a two-horse race, a one-shot lead for Adam Scott going into the final round. Then it was ding-dong between the pair of them. But the fireworks really happened in the middle of the back nine. Adam Scott birdied 14, eagled 15. That got him out in front, and he was never headed after that.
No, he wasn't. But then Hendry, you know, I mean, bogey-bogey finish. That's got to hurt.
Playing with a rib injury as well.
Was he?
Yeah.
Strapped up, was he?
He said he didn't know if he could actually, after hitting balls in the range before the final round, he didn't know if he could actually tee it up and play.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, no, fair play. Fair dinkum. That's a hell of a battle.
He just threw that in, you know. That stuff doesn't happen by accident. Fair dinkum, we're down in Australia. So what does Adam Scott take from this then, after a great win, coming down the stretch, played President's Cup last week, by the way, so he would have been tired, fatigued, and then he wins. Do you think he now looks ahead to 2020 through new eyeballs?
Yeah, I think definitely. I feel like, especially when you haven't won for such a long time and you win, I feel like it's a catalyst for more events in 2020. So I think 2020 will look like a bright year for Scott.
Do you not think Adam, Johnny, might look at the list of players that have gone into their 40s and continue to win majors, that he can surely be one of those guys?
Hell yeah.
Why can't he be?
Well, experience counts for a lot in this game. If you keep yourself fit and healthy, and look at Adam. I mean, he looks like a proper athlete. And you
something from my right.
What was
just
that?
Just explain that, NC. Just talk us through that.
You just said if you look at Adam, and I said, yeah, I look at Adam.
Okay.
Is he like number one for you, Adam?
Do you know what?
John and I would marry him. We'd marry him.
I think he's dead sexy. He's a good dude.
I mean, you know, if you feel that way, share with us. There's only three of us here. Share.
The only comment I would make is the flared trousers and the Masters. I just can't accept that.
I love flares.
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Gives you that bloody staying alive vibe, man.
Yeah, but you're on a golf course at the Masters. Why are you wearing flared trousers, please?
John, there's nothing wrong with a bit of John Travolta.
I'm all giving it that, man. I'm all giving it the
different generation.
John and I, it has to be said, on occasion, have been known to go out and punch a few shapes out on the dance floor.
Night fever.
Yeah. Just the two of us, by the way.
Making
a complete spectacle of
that's
ourselves,
cute.
Yeah. But Johnny, did we care at the time?
No.
No, we didn't care.
No. Definitely not.
And you know what? It got everyone else up. That's what happens.
Yep.
Someone's always go out there to be the village idiot, and they had two. Me and Johnny. He loves
two for the price of one.
Two for the price of two, by the way. No, it was very expensive. Very expensive evening. Adam Scott, then predictions for 2020 for him?
I think he will contend for a major. I don't think he's going to win. I got some other names in my head that I think are going to be... ramping up the major list.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
A little major prediction for 2020.
I do. I got John Ram in my head and I can't get him out. After what I've seen this year, I just think he's a freak of nature, like meaning
super
a special
super
player.
He is.
Madrid opened my eyes. I mean, we were speaking, weren't we, to and fro for that week. And
For John Rahm?
John Rahm.
Oh, he's a beast.
Mate, yeah, I've never seen shots like it.
He's a world number one. He is relentless. He's got the complete game.
This is where Adam Scott becomes undone, because there's a couple of guys up there that you just think got to add to their roster, like your Justin Thomas and Rory. You got to think it's another one round the corner. John, you know, beckoning. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, 2020 is going to be a brilliant year. Looking at all these guys trying to hustle and jostle to see who's going to be the number one.
What are your thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau? He's changing his kind of build a bit, isn't he?
He's gone a bit chunky, isn't he?
Well, apparently he's bulking. Like
that's what he's doing.
Must have seen me.
I tell you, he must have seen a couple of. Are you on Instagram?
A barrel.
Are you on Instagram?
Yeah.
He is a lot bigger, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
Yep.
But not in a sort of AJ type way.
Oh, AJ, I just had to think twice for a second.
Anthony Joshua,
his muscles aren't defined. He's not going to be muscle bound. I mean, do you know what? With his swing, he probably could be muscle bound because he's such a one piece dude that he could probably get away with it.
He's got grips as thick as.
Oh, no, tree trunks.
Tree trunks. He certainly has. Let's hear from Adam Scott, who spoke to the media after his win.
I'm pretty stoked, actually. I kind of grinded it out this week. I feel like I outsmarted the golf course a little bit, which feels good. And it was good enough to beat everyone. So it's been a long time between drinks for me, and maybe only once or twice did the thought cross my mind that I'll never win again. But this feels very good to win here, especially to finish the year off kind of winning at home. You know, I'm on the wrong side of this age thing now, where these young guys are really good, and I played some pretty good golf a couple of weeks this year and fell short. You know, record-setting scores, and I think the courses are getting tougher and guys are playing good, so just being all right doesn't really get you wins. You've got to be pretty much sensational. I've seen what it's done for me in the past. A win, you feel like you're just never going to lose again, so you want to run with that while the confidence is up. You know, somehow I'll have to think that in 7 weeks when I step back on in LA, but I've seen at the end of 2012, I won the Masters in Melbourne, and then off some good golf where I didn't win, and what that kicked me on to in 13 and on. And I've seen Rory win in 13 and go on to have an amazing 14, and Jordan Spieth and so on. You know, there's a lot of confidence from a win. It's nice to have reassurance and the belief of winning. You know, you want to be in contention and you want to find out how you feel and how you respond, and I got some of that today. So if I happen to be in that position Sunday at the Masters, I can draw on today and past experience, but this is a little more fresh, you know, than ticking back to 2016 and trying to remember how I felt.
Quite interesting, Incy. How easy or difficult will it be for him when he tees it up in, say, he's going to play Genesis in LA, to rekindle the form that he's had here after what is essentially a two-month break?
Well, I think it's interesting. It would be interesting to see how he deals with it, because he's obviously won the last event for his year anyway. He's going to have some time off. So I kind of wonder how he's going to spend this time off. Will he still be hitting balls, or will he completely switch off, which is what some of the guys do? Will he go on holiday? Will he spend time with his family? Will he set up a little training camp? I don't know.
Probably all of those things, but still, competitively, there's a two-month gap.
And that's a huge gap for these guys, because they're literally playing week in, week out. So I think it might make quite a difference, and quite hard to maybe continue that momentum through. But at the same time, he's won this year and I want to see him carry on for next year.
What were you like, Johnny, when you played? Did you need a guy that needed to kind of keep playing, or could you take breaks and then come back straight to it whenever it was that you pitched up again?
I needed to keep playing, yeah. Rob. I really did. I needed to feel the groove, feel my rhythm. I was always trying to find something, like we all do. You know, we're all trying to find the next level. And I thought the more I played, the more I got in his zone, the more I got comfortable with my game, everything, my surroundings, the lot. I mean, if I took a gap, like I say, I felt like I was stuck behind the eight ball, couldn't really, you know, it took me a while to get out of that position to find my feet again.
But when you had your year lined up and you're exempt, did you think, I'm going to play every week? Or did you actually have a little, your schedule planned, the Johnny Morgan schedule for success? What did that look like?
Well, mine was pretty helter-skelter. You know, European tour card, US tour card. Want to kind of have both, best of both worlds, like play on both. Would never happen. You know, you can't. You've got to just stick to
commit,
one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I was top 50 in the world, oh, different
ball game.
If you're
Adam Scott, you can do that. But
if you're Adam Scott, you can definitely do that.
If you just freshly qualify for the PGA Tour and the European Tour, it's almost impossible.
It is, mate. Yeah. And that's, you know, and this is where beef came undone, cold starts. You're going to have Tom Lewis going out there now. You know, what's he going to do? You know, I would say commit to one, mate.
There's a track that's littered with people who have tried to play two,
yeah,
and it's very hard, very, very difficult. Because eventually, Ince, even if you're travelling up the steps of the plane, you're turning left, eventually, I know you don't know what that feels like yet, but eventually, even that becomes wearing and you just unravel.
Yeah, definitely. And I've spoken to a few guys who actually have had both tour cards, and all of them say, do you know what, I need to focus on one. And I completely agree with you there. I don't think you can focus on both tours and keep your order of merit points high and play your best golf. I think you need to stay on one area of the world and play on one tour.
Yeah, probably good advice. Historically, we've seen that is pretty much true. Unless, of course, it all changes if you can play all those big double-counting events like all the majors and the WGCs. Then it's a different prospect. OK, let's hear from the runner-up, Michael Hendry, who had to cope with a rib injury that we talked about during his final round on Sunday.
The warm-up was terrible. I honestly thought I wasn't going to get through the round, so quite honestly, my goal today was to just get through 18 holes and finish the event, regardless of what the score was. And lo and behold, I hit it really well. You know, it was painful all day, and maybe it was the thing that I needed to take my attention away from what was happening on the golf course. It was more about just trying to make good swings under a little bit of pain, and you know, made a lot of good swings. You know, it's a shame that I'm not going to end up winning. But, geez, when you're not 100% and you're trying to chase down one of the best players in the world, you know, you're up against it, aren't you?
God, if you close your eyes there, it was Michael Campbell.
It was.
Unbelievable.
Mate, actually,
I know he's a
good
Kiwi.
Shout.
He's a Kiwi, but very like Michael, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
How about playing with an injury? People always say beware the injured golfer, but sometimes, John, if it's not too debilitating, can it help because you're concentrating on something else other than trying to get the ball in the hole?
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. Honestly, definitely. It's a fact that all of a sudden, the bigger picture, which is to win a golf tournament, the pressure is not so great because you're thinking about something else and nursing something. All of a sudden, that is way back in the background and you can play your game. It's amazing.
Minwoo Lee finished tied third, and you would know who his sister is.
Yeah, Minji Lee. One of my favourite golfers on the LPGA Tour. Incredibly consistent.
320-yard average driving distance. Last year, he was the longest on tour.
That's amazing.
320 average.
And yeah, he's not a big boy either. He's quite lanky, and he's only 21.
Yeah.
He's a young boy. He's obviously quite explosive.
Is he tall?
No. I don't even think he's that tall. I mean, I've never met him in person. His sister's not particularly tall, but I would have thought he's maybe, I mean, this is a complete guess here, maybe 5'10".
Yes. We like guesses on the show. We like guesses based on no fact whatsoever. We do like guesses.
Absolutely.
So he's 5'10"?
That's
a fine guess.
I've seen him. He's about 5'10".
Right.
Yeah, 5'10", 6". But man,
320?
But, mate, it's a country mile. I mean, that's outrageous.
Referee.
Because, I mean, well, yeah, what's happening to the game? I mean, these new different swings now, I mean, they're generating power like I've never seen before.
Well, I mean, Adam Scott said it in his interview. I mean, all the upcoming players are incredibly long, and the new good is amazing. It's world class, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I was watching old Cameron Champnat was over there as well. He showed a slow mo of his swing.
It's ridiculous.
My God.
Oh, have you watched him hit it?
Stroof.
Have you stood next to him?
Yeah. But I heard he hits it a bit like Manuel Canonica in the sense of low. It's a lower ball flight, not the
low. It's a low, screaming, squealing knuckleball fade that carries 320, and then when it hits the deck, it whoosh, off it goes.
Just like you.
It's very similar to me when I've mistimed a sandwich. But I mean, honestly, Cameron Champ, oh my God, it's unbelievable.
Mate, crazy.
Couldn't believe it. And I tell you, as far as he hits it, there is another 20% in tank there if he wants it.
Really?
Yep.
No.
I'm telling you.
Do you think a lot of the guys go out there and smash the ball with 100%, or do you think they kind of make 85%, 90% swings?
I don't think anybody thinks, you know, I'll hit this 90%. I think they
really?
Hit, yeah, I think they hit drivers flat out.
Right.
And then they've got the flat out one, which is a normal driver swing, because mm-hmm. essentially you're trying to hit it a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got one that's, okay, I might lose a bit of control, but I'll give it a bit extra. They've got that swing. But I don't think anyone stands up there and thinks, I'll give this the 85%er.
I don't really stand... Well, personally, I don't really stand there and try to smash the...
Bubba
ball,
balance.
I don't try to smash it.
You do, because you go,
No.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give this 10-0. Watch this. So, yes, you do.
Well, that's only when I'm playing against you, Rob.
Of course.
Because you outdrive you by 60 yards, whatever.
That has happened.
Oh, yeah, the bubba balance.
I don't think I try to smash it.
After giving it 10-0.
I think everyone's got their driver swing, whatever that is.
8.5, 9 out of 10 for me.
And that's their, without losing control, that's what you do with a driver. I don't, anyone says I'm 85% is talking rubbish.
Rubbish.
I mean, you can go down the grip and tee it down and you know you're not going to hit it as far. You still got to, you know, motion's still got to be as powerful as it can be, but you're down the grip and you teed it low and you know you're giving up yardage for perhaps a bit of straightness.
I disagree a little bit. I feel like when it's a wider fairway...
This is the show you can disagree on. Go on.
It's a wider fairway, I'll tee it up a little bit more. I might have a wider setup, a longer backswing and hit it a bit harder. That's my 10 out of 10. But generally speaking...
Not that you've thought about it.
Nah.
There's about 6-7 things there you have to get right. Tee it up, wider stance, da-da-da.
No,
transfer your weight, stay
average,
behind it, whoosh.
8.5, 9 out of 10 for me. Okay. I never try to go full whack.
Johnny, what's your secret for long-distance driving? If you thought, I want to give this... If there's a bunker, let's say, at, I don't know, 295 and you've got to cane it to carry it, what would be the thing you're thinking about?
Well, tee it high, putting it way outside my left foot, and I actually just hitting the baby so on the up is unbelievable. And that is it, just maximum carry as far as I can hit it.
You know, Jack Nicklaus, they said, when you want to hit it a long way, how did you do it? He said, I just hit it harder.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
That's great.
Bubba balance, you know, all over the shop after
Bubba
it.
Bubba balance,
yeah. Bubba balance, like you know, all giving it, to, you know, all over the place. Yeah.
Have you played with Minji?
I've not, actually.
Have you seen her hit it?
Yeah. We were on the driving range in Australia, and I kind of took the spot, and I think her caddy was waiting for her. And I was like, well, I'm here, and I'm playing soon, so I'm going to go. And I don't think she was too pleased with that.
Well,
but our parents are kind of friends, so...
That's all right.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, cool.
That was their first.
Did you not ever tell me on the way in that you had an Adam Scott story?
Yeah! Well, this is really cool.
See, if I hadn't brought that, we'd have missed that.
Well, so...
Here we go.
Adam Scott's a class act, right?
Yeah.
So one of my best friends, she practices at Adelaide Golf Club. And her friend knows Adam Scott.
Okay.
And so Adam Scott is having a casual round of golf. And he's brilliant at this, by the way, because I think he still plays golf with his friends quite casually, quite regularly as well. And she
That's not an unusual thing, by the way. That's
I don't know. I some of these top blokes, they only play with... Anyway, so then my friend wasn't sure if she should fangirl or if she should play it cool. She ends up deciding, I'm going to play it cool. But she messages her friend who knows Adam Scott. So her friend contacts Adam saying, hey, just to let you know, my friend's playing it cool. She's on the chipping green. Can you go up to her and ask her for a photo? So Adam walks up to my friend, asks for a photo, and goes, cheers, bye, walks off. So my friend's just like, I really want that photo. That's so cool. I've played it cool. Well done. But where's that photo? So that evening, Adam sends a photo to her friend, their mutual friend, and the mutual friend sends it to her.
Aww.
And I just thought that was a really cool...
That's a nice touch.
Cool, top touch. Top
cool,
touch.
That's a nice touch. Was she dumbstruck when Adam came up to her? And...
Oh, yeah. I think she had to try so hard to be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you know, playing it cool instead of drooling all over him.
Right, Johnny, give us the top 10 from the Australian PGA Championship.
Well, no surprise, loads of Aussies. Adam Scott there in first place. Michael Hendry right behind him in second after those back-to-back bogeys. Cameron Davis, Nick Flanagan, Minwoo Lee. And then Wayne Dorn's been making a trip back over from the European Tour, back to his own country. Young Carl Yun, and then Andrew Doat, Minkyu Kim. I think I got that one right.
All good.
Bryson Easton, and they're all tied for 10th. There's about five of them. You had Denzel Imeria, I think, Brett Rankin, and Cameron Smith, and Jonas Vierman. That was my best attempt at it, dudes.
I would think that can't be better, John. That
I mean, dyslexic
be
Bristolian giving it large there.
I tell you what, no problems with that whatsoever. Ryan Fox's 27th place, by the way, was enough to claim the 2019 PGA Tour of Australasia Order of Merit. That earns Fox entry into the it's worth winning the WGC Mexico Championship, the Open Championship, and the WGC HSBC Champions event.
Wow.
Pretty nice.
How good is that?
That's brilliant, yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, the Kiwi's already an exempt member of the European Tour for 2020, so the prize of Category 16 Tour membership drops down to Zach Murray, who was second in the ranking. So everybody is a winner, that's for sure.
Mate, Ryan Fox, give it, Lord.
Yeah. Now, Royal Pines turned into a sea of yellow on Friday as the event paid tribute to Jared Lyle. The popular Aussie lost his battle with leukemia last year at the age of only 36. Players and fans donned yellow to raise funds and awareness in his memory, which was... a very nice touch, Johnny.
Yeah, I was watching the footage and seeing them all wearing the yellow and singing their praises, and a lot of stuff went out on social media, Rob, about the man and the marks of the man, and lots of showed his battles, a few videos put out there as well, the battles that he went through and Mark's the man that he never
came
just
back
gave
more
up.
Than once from it.
That was it.
It was a hard fight, yeah.
Yeah, and do you know what? Went down still smiling.
And
you
I
know.
And I still remember. I don't know if you remember this, NC, when he had a hole in one at the 16th at Phoenix.
Oh my God, how good
was that?
That? How good was that? I've seen the footage. Yeah. It was off the charts. If there was ever something that was written, that was written for him. That moment right there, absolutely amazing.
16th at Phoenix, NC, is that? Par three that's completely surrounded by 30,000 people.
Yeah,
and Jared
walks through there. You come in under, as a player, you come in under the tunnel, you just appear on the tee in front of the melee, the noise.
Can you imagine that sound?
It's incredible. The noise is incredible.
Oh,
can you imagine it?
It's like the biggest frat party in the world. That's what it's like. And the noise of girls drinking at about 11:30 in the morning, screaming and shouting, already beard up, it's quite extraordinary.
Oh, you know what they get like? God, blame me.
Johnny knows.
Yeah, another bit of news. The European E-Tour, golf's first eSports series, which launched last week, has already received more than 45,000 entries from 169 countries. That is incredible.
What?
This is huge. More details on europeantour.com. If you fancy it, you can enter and become an E-Tour European Tour player. There are qualifying events ahead of the first of 6 live E-Tour tournaments at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship in January, and there'll be a grand finale at November's season-ending DP World Tour Championship. So this is only going to go one way, Johnny. Already 45,000 entries.
It's colossal. I didn't realise that, Rob. I really didn't. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I feel a bit flabbergasted with that one.
From 169 countries.
Yeah.
I know.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's outrageous. I didn't know it was that big.
It's only going to get bigger.
Yeah, well, I can tell that. Definitely.
I think it's a great move for the European Tour. It really is. And
fair dues.
Yeah, it could be absolutely colossal.
Fair dinkum.
It's going to kick off in Abu Dhabi. That's just around the corner, by the way, HSBC Championship. Mm. We'll see how it goes. But 45,000 entries so far. It's going to be huge. Now, last week's predictions, the reminder of the format is this. You get 2 picks every week. One has to be outside the top 50 from last year's Race to Dubai rankings, and any other player that you think might win. 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, and -5 for a missed cut. You don't want to miss cuts. Now, last week at the Australian PGA Championship, I hate to talk about myself like this.
Oh, no.
I know, honestly, it pains me. I can't... Oh, go on, Rob, push through it. I picked Adam Scott, win, 20 points.
Fair show.
And I went for Johannes Veerman as my outsider. He finished 10th and 5 points, so 25 points for the presenters.
Colossal.
Jamie Spence went for Cameron Smith, who was 10th, 5 points, and Callum Hill, who made the cut but finished 68th, so no points.
He's
so he was
plus
5. And Golfing World producer Jack Hayward, as a guest, went for Ryan Fox, 27th, no points, and Minwoo Lee tied 3rd, 10 points. So the overall picture now is it's a lot closer. Presenters are on 20 points, co-presenters 15, and the guests, which you represent, in C are on 30 points.
Woohoo!
Guests are out in front.
Game
yeah.
on.
Guests are out
in front.
Game
but as usual, I'll build a lead and then Roebuck will come in here January and reduce my, it's unbelievable. It's not fair.
You've got to do it.
Yeah, you've got
come
to
on,
do
Rob.
It.
Didn't now, do anything and I'm still winning.
You're a fan in the knowledge, man. Come on, Bernie.
Okay, the Fantasy Race to Dubai game. Head to europeantour.com to register for the new season's Fantasy Race to Dubai game, which will begin in early 2020. And as I said, this is the Christmas show, so that's literally days away. So, John, can you please give us the top 10 in the Race to Dubai? I know it's early, but it may not change. It may not change when it finishes next November.
Well, mate, I expect a few changes, putting my neck on the line. But I tell you what, there's some great golfers up there already. Pablo Larrazabal had that unbelievable win at Leopard Creek when he looked like he was losing all his toes, but he seemed like he got over the line quite nicely in the end. Rasmus Højgaard followed him in Mauritius. What a fantastic chap. Great win that was. Adam Scott as well as the winner. So they're the first 3 winners of the season. Joel Schoenholm, I mean, lovely guy. Nice to see him back there playing.
John, you were at Leopard Creek. Just talk me through Joel Schoenholm in with a chance to win and hits an iron off the last tee. Just talk me through that.
Yeah, I mean, that's never the play, especially
place
down there.
I mean, right?
Yeah, but you carry that. It's all downhill. If you get it past the 300 mark,
if you nut one, if you hit one offline, it doesn't matter. You lay out, but if you nut one, you can hit a mid iron in there. Even 8 iron, some people hit.
No, but what was it? Dave Lipsky the following year, hit 9 iron in.
Right.
I mean, that's how far you can get it down there. I mean, there's a big downhill, about 300 yards off the tee.
My heart sank when I saw him pull the iron out. Honestly.
Well, mate, it is what
it
is.
There's no doubt he played for second place, to be honest, and I think he was quite happy with it at the end.
I understand where he's come back from. He's got a chance to win a big check. I get all that. But even if you've had a good career, you don't get that many chances to win. You don't.
No, you don't.
What was his caddy doing? You know, it's his caddy's job to kind of encourage
him. Incy, can a caddy make you change your mind?
Do you know what? At the end of the day, the player makes a decision, in my opinion.
It's the player's call.
You have time to discuss, and sometimes a caddy would rather not say anything because they don't want to put any negative
doubts,
ideas in your mind. But at the same time, that kind of... I mean, it's your last round, it's the last hole, you're in contention to win, it's a par five.
Mate.
I really do feel like it was the caddy's responsibility to really encourage him. Just whack your driver. You've been hitting it great all week.
Back in the day when Edinburgh Jimmy used to caddy for me, if that had been me in that situation and I go to my bag, he would have been lying over every club apart from the driver, which is sticking out under his armpit. That would have been the only club I could have pulled out of that bag. He would not have let me, because no point hitting the three wood. No, he would not let me hit an iron. It's driver. If you nut one down there, you can hit it easily with a mid to short iron.
You can.
And if you don't, you lay up.
But I mean,
it was a freebie.
Golf is an individual sport, but at the same time, it is a team effort with your caddy and play. It is a team effort. And I think...
Are you someone that says we, or do you say I?
No, you can't say we. Well, I just said it.
Caddy doesn't hit a shot.
No.
Well, anyway, I'm going to stop you squabbling right now, right? Because I'm going to come to a guy that played the shot perfectly and he came undone down at 18th hole. So you had Renato Paratori, obviously finished runner-up at Mauritius, with Anthony Rosner.
The fastest player in the West.
Yeah, the fastest player
Renato
in the West.
Renato is incredible.
I mean, you give him a run for his money,
mate. Grazie, prego.
Yeah, grazie, prego. And then Brendan Grace, which was nice to see him up there again. And then Will Besseling. Now, this is a shot I wanted to tell you about. You know, he's come down the 18th there, totally different driver, straight down.
Which course?
This was at Leopard Creek.
Okay.
And he's hit the shot and he has pitched it on the green no more than about a yard, right, on the green. And it's gone over and it's hit onto the rocks and it stayed on that rocks.
Yeah.
On that little pathy rocks. And he had no shot, unfortunately. But it shows you, even going for that with, like, he only had a 7-iron, he couldn't stop
it. Yeah, but
you've got to bail out Johnny. Left. You've got to be
Johnny.
Left.
He went for the green from the semi-rough.
He did go, but the light was great. I was having a look at the light.
It was a good line, but
it was set up like a peach, man.
It didn't come out with that. No.
He had a
bucket load
of height on it.
It was a huge high lurch with a short. I don't know what he hit, 9 or 8 iron. I don't know what he hit in. It was a very short iron.
I think it was about an 8 iron.
Right, and it landed. It had no spin on it whatsoever. It just released and over it went.
Oh, I felt
it was an OYG, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you got... Well, Charles Schwartzel coming back from his wrist.
This is one of the best top tens, by the way, reads ever.
I'm loving it.
It's one of the. This is when we go into our library for new people to come in. You're going to read a top 10 in the race to Dubai. This will be the go-to.
The Gordon Bennett. The Gordon Bennett one.
This is it.
Right. So, Charles, brilliant to see him out there. Got close again. Loves that golf course. Won it umpteen times.
4 seconds and 4 wins, I think.
Mate, unbelievable. Yeah, he is. And I played with him one of the years, and he was absolutely magnificent. He is an unbelievable player. But during the course of the round, I did ask him, how's his wrist feeling? And he said it still felt a little bit dodgy.
Oh,
so
really?
He needs a little bit of work, he said. And then Jonas Fearman as well, which had a good result in Australia.
Well. Yeah, and he looks like a really good young player, that's for sure.
There's your top 10.
So that was a magnificent top 10. As I said, that's now the new gold standard. But what about, we'll give you another chance, Johnny.
Oh,
top 10 in the world, please.
Oh, Gordon Bennett, here we go. Well, there's no surprise, but he's hanging on for dear life, I feel. It's Brooks Koepka. You know, he's out injured at the moment. I think there's a few people who are going to be chasing him down very shortly. Rory McIlroy, no surprise to be in second. John Rahm, absolutely breathing down their throats. No surprise there. Man on a crest of a wave and winning everything known to man. Justin Thomas, top player. Dustin Johnson losing his mojo a little bit, just falling down the pecking order, not quite there. Tiger Woods, just solid as a rock. Patrick Cantlay, Justin Rose in 8th. Xander Schauffele in 9, and our mighty Tommy Fleetwood with his long Goldilocks hair in number 10.
Everybody loves Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, me? What a class
a
act of the guy.
He's like an English Adam Scott.
Approachable.
Totally
down to earth, boy next door.
No ego. Willing to speak to anyone and spend time. He's the go-to guy.
Here.
While you guys are having that conversation, I'm just wondering what kind of shampoo and conditioner he uses. He's got lovely hair.
Well, he has got a lot of it.
Yeah.
He's probably about to get
you had an aversion to flares, but what about mullets? Where are you on the mullets?
I love mullets.
I know.
Great mullets.
I was wondering, I'm throwing this to our fashion correspondent.
No, sorry.
I wouldn't say that's mullet category, Tommy, because it's quite nice. I feel like mullets aren't very appealing, whereas his hair is actually quite luscious.
So Tommy Fleetwood, he's so liked by everybody that even you can't bring yourself to say that he's got a mullet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He's got some sort of new category.
Yes.
It's the Tommy Fleetwood non-mullet.
I like the Goldilocks. I think male Goldilocks is a lovely way to put it.
Well, no, I didn't mean it. You meant to say mullet.
Let's move this on, shall we?
Please.
We will come back to fashion because that's it's going to be a objet de jour as we talk about next year and what it might bring. But recently, Roy McIlroy has been saying he's been a victim of his own success and that he would not feel a tinge of disappointment about his season if he was any other golfer. He won four times in 2019, including the WGC HSBC Champions, but missed the cut at his home Open Championship and didn't sustain a challenge in the other majors. So apart from the majors for Rory, it was a phenomenal season.
Yeah.
So what do you think about his comments, a victim of his own success?
I think McIlroy is a type of character, and he's a person that's quite hard on himself. And I think he's always very honest with the way he speaks. So I think it's fair to say that's his own judgment of himself. But in terms of his golf, although he's won majors and several majors in a year in the past, I do feel like this year has probably been one of the most consistent years, therefore making it probably one of his best. Does it make you the best golfer of yourself if you win a major? Maybe not necessarily. I think I would rather be very consistent throughout the whole year and maybe not win a major.
I mean, the tournaments that he won this year, he's number two in the world. He's rising his way back up towards that number one spot. It's all good. The only caveat with Rory is because he's so good, every year he comes up majorless, people talk about it because, you know, he won four majors very quickly and there's been a lull.
There has been a lull. And Rory's gone away and he's practiced hard, especially on his wedge play. I remember I was at Close House and I was watching him with Harry. Harry was on his bag and, wedge play was well out of left field. I mean, he couldn't, you know, straight and control the spin. Now he's controlled that. He's coming back into all systems go. But I just find that Rory, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. It's either he's got to get in a run, he's got to get in a run early, but he seems to put the whole world on his shoulders, Rob. That was pure example at Portrush. I mean, bang, there it was. But then what an amazing account of himself afterwards. Showed what a world-class player he was. Even to get back and nearly, you know, do
65,
well.
I think,
unbelievable, bud. I mean, the guy is a mega-class actor.
Oh, yeah,
I worked at Hollywood Golf Club, and do you know what? He's got a massive fan base there. They all love him. You know, I've heard some amazing stories about that lad. And, yeah, no surprise, but I just, he's got a thing in it. Be in his bonnet now with majors. Be nice to see him get one.
If Tiger Woods isn't playing, Rory is the needle mover. Pretty much no one else brings anyone through the gate. Rory brings, you remember when he went to South Africa?
Yeah.
Was it Graham Storm won that?
Stormy won
and the crowds were just off the charts because Rory was there. He's the needle mover. Tiger is the ultimate needle mover. Mm-hmm. Great to have Tiger back, but it's those two. Everyone else is great, but they're not dragging people through the gate.
They got the wow factor, man.
Yeah, Rory's got the wow factor, no doubt
massively,
about that.
Massively, mate. And look how he hits it. I mean, he absolutely... His presence... Yeah, you hit the nail on the head saying that he's really brutally honest, you know, and he says he lays it all out there, and he does. Yeah. And I think that's the best quality of Rory as well. And I think that is what intrigues people to go and follow him as well. He's not just an amazing golfer, which he is. He's just honest as the day is born.
I think the day is long, I should say. Yeah, the day is long. Or they're short these days. We've got past the shortest day now. We're good.
I think there's something really special about McIlroy. Like, not only is, like I said, he's very honest, which is actually so refreshing to see. He's such a powerful pocket rocket. He's not a tall guy, is he? He's not a big guy, and he produces so much power. And, just full of natural talent. And I just think he's such an exciting personality to see him grow over the years and also win so many majors so early on at such a young age.
Well, he is in full flight. I think there's not a better sight than Rory McIlroy in full flight. That's what I think.
It's mental for him, isn't it? You kind of look at him, he's got all the physical attributes. He's got all the qualities to be a great putter. When he puts well, his putter's hot, he's great.
He's putted much better this year.
He has.
Big improvement.
But like all golfers, when it's good, he is the best. He is so far ahead. But when it's not, it's frustrating to watch because it looks mental.
That's a very good point, Incy, because he is, to me also, as much as the guy I like to watch the most, he can be the most frustrating golfer to watch.
Yeah.
You think, you know, he's left 20 shots out there and he's finished second.
Many years ago, when he won at Congressional, at the US Open.
Eight-shot win.
Eight-shot win, right? I mean, that there, when you looked at that, you went, oh, my goodness, what treat we're in for now. And do you know what? He's treated us ever since, but it hasn't got to that, hasn't been that level. You know, I mean,
trouble
that
is,
was a ridiculous level.
Trouble
wasn't it,
is with Rory, he's on a downer. As soon as he doesn't win the Masters, he's already on a downer and there's three more majors to play for. It's the same thing.
It's true.
Rory's got to win the Masters to have the Grand Slam, the career
Rory.
Grand Slam.
Come win
on, Rory.
Win the Masters, my boy.
Up every
get
time he has to make it, though. I feel like every time the pressure's on, I mean, I don't want to say he messes up, but he messes up.
Tiger showed everybody how to close out that tournament last year. I mean, when Frankie went in the water at 12, Tiger just stepped on his neck. 9-9, over the bunker, middle of the green, two putts, move on, birdie the two par fives.
So true.
And he just absolutely choked the life out of the field. That's the model. When you look at how to play Augusta, Tiger knows how to do it.
I mean, he's so experienced around that golf course, isn't he?
It counts for a lot. There are a few people, because the same names, they're there every year. You know, Bubba's
mum
won more than one. Phil's mum won more than one. Tiger's won five now. Jack won six.
Crazy.
So if you're a great player and you get Augusta, you've got a massive advantage. And I've no doubt that Tiger Woods, if he's fit between now and the springtime, he will be favourite. He will be, no matter where he is in the world, he will be the favourite to win Augusta.
You know, I definitely didn't see him winning the Masters.
One of the great wins of the whole year.
Well, I've actually never witnessed Tiger Woods win, because when he did overtake the world, it was when I was a kid and I wasn't watching golf. So that was the first time
Watching into when you were? I thought your mum made your hands bleed when you were two on the range.
No. I was watching Power Rangers, The Simpsons. I loved WWE, MTV Cribs, Pimp My Ride. Loved it.
Pimp My Ride.
It was such
that's
a brilliant show.
Pimp My Ride.
Yes.
Pimp My
Ride. You know, I say to Incy, have you seen Star Wars? No.
What?
Honestly,
get over it.
Name any film.
Mate.
Any film that means something to you. I mean, the greats. Name anyone.
Oh, no.
Just think of one.
Great. Oh, Pulp Fiction, obviously. But Neverending Story?
No.
As a kiddies flick?
No.
Oh, man.
Ask Incy, has she seen Caddyshack?
Shut up.
No, I'm embarrassed by this one.
You've not seen Caddyshack?
I'm going to lie. Yes.
Happy Gilmore?
No. Parts of it?
Tin Cup?
No.
Bag of Ants?
No.
Oh, man.
Never even heard of it.
They're all golf movies.
Golf movies.
And I'm a golfer.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I love the game. I just play it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Amen.
She plays it well, though.
She does. Well, I've seen the swing, mate.
Yeah, the swing's awesome. Yeah. What's coming up for you, Incy?
For me, well, like I said, I got back from Kenya. A little bit of time off. Get to spend some time enjoying Christmas. But I will be going back to tour school in January. I'm going to go a week early. It's at La Manga this year.
The holiday with a difference.
Yeah, we're staying in a nice B&B. I've got my own car. We're staying by the beach. I think it'll be really nice. The facilities there are amazing, I've heard. I've not been there.
You're not supposed to dress this up like, you know, it actually is a holiday. You're supposed to say, oh, the grueling mental thing I'm going to have to go through.
Okay. I'm getting there. I'm just building the picture.
You're like Judith Chalmers here. You're building up like it's a, you know, five-star holiday.
Do you know what? It's good, though, because so many people hate tour school. But, you know, you've got to make it nice for yourself. So I've got a nice house, got a car. It's going to be great. And I'm really looking forward to some intense training beforehand and smashing tour school.
Smashing.
Good girl.
Smashing,
I like the sound of that.
Now, what do you think, Incy, about the news that came out very recently that the LPGA and the LET, Ladies European Tour, are going to join forces? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think this is great.
What does it mean for you?
Well, no one really, really knows. A bit like Brexit, no one really knows. But
look at you! Look at you with your political comment.
Oh my God.
That's as far as it goes.
Okay. I'm happy to get into Brexit if you want to.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Go on in.
Then I'm walking out this room.
LPGA, LET.
But
let's have it.
I really think this is a win-win-win for the players, for the LET Tour, for the LPGA Tour. It's a win for everyone. It's a no-brainer, in my opinion. And thing is, I think a lot of people have said that the LPGA are here to overtake, and they're not here to overtake, they're here to join forces with the LET. So the LPGA will invest in a few tournaments on the LET schedule. Hopefully, whether this is in 2020, I'm not sure, maybe more realistically in 2021, remove the co-sanctioned events, because we've got so many co-sanctioned events on the LET Tour at the moment. So we need to get rid of those. Another thing that annoys me, here we go.
Yeah, go on, girl.
There's so many tours in golf. You know, you've got the men's golf and you've got women's golf to start off with. And, you know, I'll talk about the women's golf. You've got LPGA and then you have the Smetch Tour, which is the feeder tour for the LPGA. And then here in Europe, you've got the European Tour, you've got the European Access Tour, and then you also have the Santander Tour in Spain. And then we've got the Sunshine Tour in
South Africa.
And then you have, like, the Swedish Tour. There's so many tours. At the end of the day, we want to play golf. And so I wonder, in 5 years' time, will the LPGA take over? I'm not sure. It'll be interesting how that works with Solheim Cup and stuff.
The thing is, all the smaller tours that you mentioned there, they exist because they kind of, I mean, there are players that come through there and bounce onto the LPGA, the Ladies European Tour, and they bounce onto the LPGA Tour. But essentially, they're for players that aren't quite good enough to make it onto the main tour. That's why they exist. There's too many players. There's not one tour that can service all those players.
But you cannot make a living on those small tours.
You have to view it as, this is my rung on the ladder. That's what it is. It's not to make a living, but this is my way to get better. Play tournament golf week in, week out. Make myself improve. Get to a standard where I can live on the Ladies European Tour. Mm. And then when you get there, you've got to get yourself to a standard where you can live on the LPGA Tour.
It is a vicious circle, and I also see this as a bit of a gamble as well, to be honest, because if you spend so many years on the smaller tours...
You can't do that.
You know, I think that would drive you crazy.
It would drive you crazy. How about you, Johnny?
Yeah.
And your route to professional golf?
My route was through the PGA Euro Pro Tour. Went and qualified through there, bang, straight onto China's Tour, bang, straight to the other two. And it was, it was quick fly-by-night, kind of all happened really quickly. But I think, you know, people are turning pro a lot sooner rather than later now. I see.
Especially on the ladies' tour.
Mate, they're so young now. They're so young. Mm. They're turning pro. They're coming out of their, you know, country.
Are you saying you're missing out college completely? You're turning pro at sort of 16, 17, 18, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. You get a lot of the girls turning pro. I mean, a lot of them don't even go to college. And if they do, so all my friends who went to American college, you know, with the scholarships, they don't even bother with a European tour. They've already competed in these American college events.
Yeah.
They know what it's like. They know what the courses are like. And they go straight to LPGAQ school, which is qualifying school.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I turned pro when I was
That's what you
18.
Would do.
There you go.
That's what you would do if you were going through
that's
the college
what I would
system.
Do. Absolutely.
Because your view becomes an American view.
It's a no-brainer.
It's understandable.
Well, look at this Rasmus Højgaard, 18 years old, goes and wins over in Mauritius. The guy's built like me, just needs a couple more pies put inside him. But he'd be all right. You know, he's massive, though.
Big guy.
You can understand why he's hit the ball absolutely miles.
Yeah.
I mean, why aren't you turning pro, mate? Go and make a buck for yourself and make a name for yourself. You've got to do it. Mm. Doesn't matter how young you are, does it, really?
The game's changed.
It has changed.
They're all younger. They're all bombing it. I mean,
this sounds like Christmas curmudgeon. It doesn't sound like Christmas cheer. I want something that's upbeat. This is all sounding very depressing.
This is exciting.
So young and they hit it miles. And
just because you're not young, Rob.
Oh, that was a bit of silence.
Mate,
he's young at heart, massively.
That's why it's depressing for you, Rob.
I reckon it's not.
He could definitely outdance you, though, girl.
He
could.
I'd put money on that.
I look at it the other way. I've made it this far.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it the other way.
Go on, my son.
Yeah.
To be discussed.
Yep. To be discussed.
You've got no chance, mate.
Incy's still trying to find someone she beat me at. But
She
thinks she can win at pool.
Like
pool and table tennis and tennis and stuff like that.
Do you know what?
It's not even going to happen.
That's such a silly comment.
It's not even a goer. Let's turn our attention back from personal foibles.
Passionately getting aggravated here.
This is very good. Back to the joint event with the Ladies European Tour and the European Tour. Henrik and Annika put the names towards it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be men and women playing the same golf course. Your thoughts on that?
Well, two huge names there, Annika Sørenstam and Henrik Stenson. I think that'll be super exciting. Interesting to see if Henrik Stenson brings any of his friends to the tournament. You know, if I was playing in that event, and I mean, I don't know if McIlroy would play, but, you know, players on the European Tour, if they were to be there, that would be very cool. And I think it would shine a huge spotlight on the Ladies European Tour.
But they have sort of tried this before, haven't they? Similar.
Yeah, so that was a combination of the Challenge Tour, LET, and the Seniors Tour.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. I think a lot of backlash with the tees, which always annoys me.
Why does that annoy you? I mean, ladies and men can't play off the same tees,
exactly.
Obviously.
That's my point. But a lot of people are complaining that the girls, the ladies, are teeing off further forwards. But let's say, Johnny, you're a little younger, playing off the backs.
I'm a little younger. I'll take that.
You're going driver 7-iron. If I'm teeing off the same tee box, I'm going driver 5-iron, 4-iron maybe. It's just not fair. You've got to move a tee forward, so I go driver 7-iron. And I understand, within each tour, obviously, you have the long hitters and the short hitters, but we've got to average it out.
Yeah, I think for the event that it is going to be.
Definitely. But they're going to have to nail it.
That's going to happen.
It's just a no-brainer. Stop complaining, people. At the end of the day, we're playing golf. It is the same golf course. You're playing in the same type of grass. you've got to get the ball in the hole as in few shots as possible. Just play golf, guys.
Yeah. And the same equal prize money, by the way, as
well. Yeah, I mean that's amazing. Just to shine a light and actually share the stage with the men's golf and have that whole equal rights thing is all fantastic.
So you've given this such a massive, massive build-up. Now your quest is to get to play in it.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to do.
Absolutely.
Dress codes in professional golf. The Alfred Dunhill, you mentioned it, championship, because of the temperatures, we're allowed to wear shorts for the first time in competition. Now, the European Tour have said so far you can wear shorts on a Wednesday, which is a stepping stone, I think, to eventually you'll be able to wear shorts if you want to. What were your thoughts on seeing pros in shorts on Thursday onwards?
It became a natural thing to look at, you know, on the way round. I mean, I liked it. It made complete sense. I mean, it was stifling hot out there. I mean, if you were wearing trousers, no matter what, I mean, my goodness, you're going to be sweating cobs out there. And it was so hot, Rob.
Yeah,
it really was.
I was boiling it.
I mean, you'd know, you're able to wear, was it shorts on the ladies'
or
tour?
Skirt.
Or skirt.
If I could have played in shorts, I would have played in shorts.
Yeah, I would have played in shorts.
On a hot day,
definitely.
Inside me, I was crying to play. God, I love playing in shorts.
Yeah.
And anyways, you know, golf is a sport.
Let the kids see it as a sport,
not a bunch of old stuffy old guys wandering around the fairway. Let them see it as a sport.
What's the biggest sport in the world? Football.
And what do the players do when they got a chance? They wear shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
How does Tiger and Justin Thomas and all these guys practice? They practice in shorts.
It's a no-brainer. It's definitely going to be a full-time thing in the next few years.
It's coming. So we're in the shorts thing. We're plus shorts, aren't we?
100%.
Definitely. Yeah. 100 million percent. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, without question.
Bring it on as
and
soon.
And flip the whole equality thing. If the girls can wear it, why can't the boys?
That's my point. That's my point.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Yeah. Your hopes for 2020, Johnny. What are your plans and what do you want to do? What do you want to achieve in 2020?
2020, just want to see some spectacular golf, which I've been used to the last couple of years being on course. And probably my highlight of the year was actually watching John Rahm at Madrid. And I'm hoping I get to walk the
fairway. He was like the Pied Piper there, wasn't he?
Mate, unbelievable.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, I would like to walk the fairway in a major with him when he's about to take it, you know, because I just think it's inevitable. You know, with a man of his stature,
and I just think you would marry him tomorrow if he asked. You love the guy, right?
When it comes to a really good golfer, you very rarely get to see ones that absolutely stand out and got a gap between the rest.
Yeah, he's a standout.
He's one of them, and it's very rare that you get to see that. You know, you could name him on one hand, can't you? Over the last like 20 years that you've seen that kind of stick out, and he's definitely one of them.
You know, John Rahm. If I go on the range at tournaments, I go, you know, wander down there and watch some of the swings and stuff, and on a Wednesday usually. Every time I go on the range, and I've said this many times, every time I go and stand behind John Rahm, it's the same thing every time. It doesn't change one iota. The swing, the motion, what he's trying to do on the range, his diversity when he's practicing. It's the same every day. It's unbelievable. Mate. I mean, most guys are working on this, working on that. You don't see that with him. He's just got his move, that's it, and it works like you can't believe. Mr. Repetitive, he is. Mr. Repetition.
And he's got left to right. He hasn't got much of a right to left in his game. He doesn't need it, though. He doesn't. Because, I mean, we came to this dogleg right to left in Madrid, 14, it was at par 5.
Yeah.
You know right? And he's teeing it up on the right side of the box, and he's hit it. And I followed him all 4 days, and I got on his truth and on art, that ball was no more than a yard from one another all 4 rounds.
Yeah.
And it was just on the right edge,
if not
just in the fringe, just every time. And I was like, you just know it. And he was like that all the way through his round. And he came back in 29 that round as well, which wasn't bad.
No, he's very
special.
He's great to watch, Johnny.
Yeah, he is.
Great to
who's
watch.
Your, would you put him up there as golf of the decade? Who would you put?
I tell you what, he's coming hard to trot. That's a good one.
There's only one winner in that category for me. There's only one winner.
Go on, then.
You can't consider anyone else.
Go on, then.
Rory is the golfer of the decade.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
You can't argue.
He'd have to be.
He cannot be anyone but Rory. Tiger's been fantastic, but he hasn't been there. Rory's had the longevity of the decade. Johnny's a fly-by-night. He's only had two or three seasons.
Yeah.
Rory's done the whole decade.
Jordan. Yeah, they've all had their quick, fast moments, but Rory's, like you said, Rob, he's sustained it all the way through, without question.
Go on, Ince.
No, I'm just curious. I think that's a very fair comment. I think it's really interesting how Koepka's just dominated all the majors, but it's just the majors. So.
Again, it's you know, we're talking about over a 10-year period.
Consistency,
it could be Koepka if you had 10 years, that you know, you get to 2030.
He's been short and very sweet. Yeah.
But he's...
Yeah.
The longevity is there.
Him and Rory are both on four majors.
But do you know what? Molinari has actually really impressed me, but it's obviously at a kind of short period of time-ish.
Yeah. Sure.
But that short period of time, I just thought was incredible.
He had a great run.
Yeah.
And hasn't hit a shot since he dunked it in the water at the 12th at the Masters. That's it for now. I know I should ask you, Incy, for your year, what do you want for 2020?
That's an interesting question. I would 100% regain that full tour status. I want my full playing rights back. I want to play every tournament on the LET. I want to see the tour grow. I want to see changes made with the joining
forces. It's got a chance now.
Yeah, I see it moving in the right direction with the help from the LPGA. I mean, I played the British Open last year. I'd love to get into a major again. I mean, the British Open was so special for me because obviously as a kid, you know, being British.
Playing
your
a major.
Major. That was amazing. Yeah, so I'd love to do that again. And yeah, just play some quality golf, man.
Hey.
Last question, Johnny. What do you want for Christmas?
I would like
if I am Father Christmas. So basically, here I am,
Santa's
Johnny,
real, by the way.
My boy. What would you like for Christmas?
I'd like my hair to grow back. I'd like some colour put
in
there.
Tell you what, I got some lotions and potions, but none that will fix that. So what else do you want?
Just go down a peg or two on my belt buckle. That'd be nice.
Lose a bit of timber.
I'd like to get as fit as you.
That's very achievable.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
That's very achievable.
Get on a nice little diet.
40.
Mm. Yeah, do you?
Yeah, 40. It's a long story.
All right. Yeah. Don't worry, mate.
I used to do 70, and then I realised they weren't even half a press up.
Oh, really?
So then when I tried to do them properly, then I can only do 40. And it's not moving from 40. It's just stuck on 40.
Yeah, I'm taking on an
impressive number.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking on our producer, David Mould, actually. We've had a little side little bet. You know, we're going hell for leather. We're going hell for leather.
Weightgate.
So, yeah, we are actually going to... we're cutting things back and we're going to come out lean, mean, fighting machines.
What sort of thing? I assume this is after the Christmas period this starts?
Most
people do that. They sort of give themselves they let themselves off for Christmas and then, tell you what, when I get to January, whoa, you watch me go.
Go on, my son. Well, he's full tilt because he's going to do what you're doing. He's going to go down the...
Marathon route.
Right. So, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to try and do this.
But again, I'm not really giving you anything. You're sort of saying this is all, you know, this is self-propelled from you. What can I give you as Father Christmas?
What can you give me?
Yeah. What is missing in your life? Or what is something? Be indulgent. What can I give you?
I'm so lucky, though.
These are other things
that
you can do.
I'm so lucky.
Such a hard question, really, isn't it?
You keep thinking, and I'm coming to you
next. There's nothing I want, though, bud. I'm so happy. Yeah. Honestly, I'm a lucky git. I really am.
Yeah.
I got a massive, lovely family. I got loads of friends. My daughter is amazing. Nothing. I don't need nothing.
So my gift to you then is may it just continue.
Happy as big and poo. Yeah, perfect.
And you, Incy, what would you like? What can I give you for Christmas?
Do you know what? Santa's real. And when I was 5, he gave me my magic set that I wanted.
To do tricks?
Yeah.
Right.
I wrote to Santa.
Yeah.
I did give the letter to my mum to post it.
To be fair.
And I was really sad because we were going to spend Christmas in Korea. And I was like, you know, Santa won't know that I'm in Korea. I'm really upset. He's not going to give me my present. Woke up, got off my bunk bed, climbed down the ladder. There was my magic box set all wrapped up. Santa's real.
But
amazing.
Again, you've skillfully avoided the question. What can Santa give you for Christmas?
I've got everything I need.
She's rocking a hat as well, man.
She's rocking a hat.
She's all Christmased up, man.
What's your Instagram?
Incy Golf. Yeah, you can see my hat later.
Yay. So Incy Golf, it's just Incy Golf.
Incy Golf, INCIGOLF.
Okay, Incy Golf. If you want to see how Incy looks today, it's Incy Golf.
But before we go off then, Rob, so what do you want from Father Christmas? What would be your number one?
I'm in the Johnny Morgan type place.
Happy.
Just happy, yeah. And I'm very low maintenance, actually.
Yeah.
I demand a lot from the people I work with, probably, but especially here. And do you know what? Just roll with
keep
the punches.
Keep smiling, man.
Yeah, keep smiling.
Keep smiling.
All I want
right.
for Christmas is you.
That's it for now. Remember, you can stay up to date over the festive period at europeantour.com and the official European Tour app, as well as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, or Instagram, as we know. Next week, we have an in-depth interview with Tommy Fleetwood looking back at his golfing year and ahead to the big events in a jam-packed 2020. Plus, I'll be joined by Jamie Spence and Bob Bubka for a chat about some of the most memorable moments of 2019. But for now, from Johnny Morgan,
the little drummer boy,
and Incy Wincy Mehmet,
Spider, thank you for having me.
And me, Robert Lee, it's goodbye. Have a great Christmas. Have a lovely, happy time. We'll see you in the new year.